API versioning is so simple to do when you apply it to ASP.NET Core. So join us today on this episode of Visual Studio Toolbox as we learn more about it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Leslie Richardson, and today we're going to be talking about API versioning. And to do that, I am joined today by Phil DePixie, who is a Microsoft MVP and is the CTO of Pintas & Mullins Law Firm. Welcome, Phil.
Thanks. Glad to be here, Leslie.
Awesome. So to kick us off, can you tell us a little bit about what API versioning even is as it relates to ASP.NET and why it's important?
Yeah, certainly. So the biggest problem you have with APIs is they're not talked to by humans, right? They're talked to by other software. And if something changes, that software has to know to adjust, right? So if you think of Microsoft.com, right? They change the UI, they redesign the docs. Humans look at it and go, oh, I now click over here, right? Well, programs don't know how to do that. So what we need to do is make sure that once we publish an API, we don't go changing how it works, right? And so the best way to do that, it has to evolve over time. But once you put that fork in the ground, then you say, okay, everybody who's using this endpoint with this version is not going to change. We guarantee that, right? But now we want to add a new feature. So, okay, now we're going to go to version 1.5 or 2, we'll just skip 3 and 4 like EF Core did and go straight to 6, right? We need to be able to communicate that. And what's great about ASP.NET Core and versioning is we can do that in about 4 steps. To get very basic rudimentary versioning up there. So there's no friction at all. Everybody should be doing it.
That's great. Yeah, because having those breaking changes can be pretty detrimental to some people's workflow if it's not implemented correctly. So would you like to just dive in?
Let's just dive in.
What's up? Awesome.
There's really, before I jump into the code, what we want to do is we want to understand that there is a specification for versioning, right? And typically it's major, minor, right? So it's not like the .NET Core versioning where we've got, 3 sets of numbers or 4 sets of numbers, depending on where you are. It's major, minor. And then if it's an alpha or beta, then you can have some words at the end, right? So we're not dealing with the internet versioning standard, right? Where you've got major, minor, build or release and patch, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. Easier for me to say. Anyway, so we really just deal with the 2 numbers mostly, and the second number is optional. So if I have V1, then it's 1.0, right? If you want to have a minor, then you have to do both. So with that being said, let's look at, I have just the bare minimum here. It's just file new project, ASP.NET Core, web API. Well, technically it's a RESTful service using ASP.NET Core because web API, the name is gone, but I still call it that because it's less words. What we have in here is our regular startup, right? The weather forecast. I've created a couple of additional controllers here we'll talk about in a minute, but let's talk about the things you need to do to add very basic versioning. First things first, you add in microsoft.asp.netcore.mvc.versioning. This gives you a whole bunch of power. That power actually comes in. Now I can do things like this. Put in the API version attribute, and it's commented out right now. We'll talk about that shortly. I'm going to uncomment things as we go. And I can decorate either the controller or an action method with this version attribute. Now there's one more thing that we need to do, and that's we need to jump in here and turn it on, right? As you're probably well aware, everything in .NET Core is opt-in, right? Nothing's on by default. So it's really a safety mechanism, and it was a great decision. So we add in API versioning in services. Now, if you're in .NET 6, there's no configure services method anymore. So you still would just call services.add API versioning. Swagger Gen comes out of the box now. That was a great new feature. And
to stop you there for a sec, can you explain what Swagger is?
Oh, absolutely.
Other than just overall coolness.
Yeah. So Swagger is it's open XML. And what it is, it's a way to describe your website. So it looks through your document and it will create what's called a swagger.json file. And you know what? We can see what it looks like right here. So it'll look through all of your API controllers and then put documentation around it. Okay. Now, I didn't type any documentation in. I could have added additional with triple swag comments in C#. Mm-hmm. But I can even try it out. So let's say I want to try it out. I execute it. This is just the out of the box weather controller. It gives you the curl, so you know how to call it if you're not using C#. Here is the actual URL. And here's the response.
That's really cool. So it's like a docs generator, but
absolutely
the added feature of,
there's actually a swagger.json file that's generated that you can ship. So if you don't want to give somebody access to your API, but you want them to code against it, mm-hmm. you just give them the swagger.json.
Seems pretty easy.
Yeah. So it's not part of versioning, but it becomes an important part of versioning. And we'll cover that after we get through the basics.
Gotcha.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about two of the options we want to turn on. We want to report API versions, otherwise it keeps it a secret and Swagger can't know about it. And we want to use API behavior. This is something that came out in 3.0, defaulted to true 3.1 and later, and this is a great feature. If you have mixed ASP.NET MVC controllers or Razor pages and API endpoints in the same application, no one can argue that you should have better separation of concerns, but hey, it's reality, right? We need to get the job done. We do what we can. So if you have that situation, you don't want Swagger documenting everything. You just want API versioning and Swagger to document the API, right? So Swagger, we've already turned that on. Sorry, that'll be in the next demo. We can turn it on. So use API behavior will only apply versioning to something that is marked as an API controller. Right? API controller mm-hmm. also adds additional features like automatic error handling on certain conditions and other stuff. So you're going to have that on your API and controllers anyway.
Cool. So if that option were not marked as true, then that means it would just register everything?
It would register everything. Yeah. Okay. And we don't really want to. I mean, we don't want versioning on web pages, right?
You don't want
the user to have to type, you know, Microsoft.com/V1, right?
Right.
You just want Microsoft.com.
Unless you just, you know, you feel like teasing your customers, yeah. I guess.
So let's, I set the version to 1 right here. Right. And I'm running the app with .NET Watch run. So when I make changes, they'll be automatically applied. Well, I'm running .NET 6, so it's a little squirrely at times. Here. All right. So what does this give us? So up here we have the name of the app plus V1. And then when I go down to my values controller, I see a little different format, right? So I have a version option that's required. So I try it out, I put in version 1, I execute, and my response does a couple things. First of all, it broadcasts what the API supported versions are in the header. So you could ping something like a health check, which I have down here. So we put a 1 in here for the version. We could have put a 2 in here for a version, but if we did that, we get a 400.
Oh, yep.
Because it's an unsupported API version, right? So the API supported versions are right here. Now, what does that mean? So we went in here and I put API version 1 at the top of the controller. So every single one of these methods, and I only have 2 right here, become version 1. But let's expand this a little bit. Let's do a couple different versions. Let's make this one deprecated. And then version 2 here. And then when we save this, we should get the auto refresh. Knock on wood.
All right.
So let's try it out. We're going to put in 1.5 and execute. And let's look at our response.
Success.
So we have a deprecated version published right here. We have two supported versions. And I have no control over the formatting, so I apologize for the comment in there. But it worked, right? So here's the URL. Now, the reason we get the URL this way is because another thing that API versioning adds in is we can write the route like this. So it'll automatically pull whatever's after the V into the version. Now, I can get the version in my app by either using dependency injection. Mm-hmm. And if we want to be really technical, we should probably do from services here. Or I can say off to context, hey, get me the requested API version. Because in this case, we've got three different versions that go to the same methods.
Right.
So it could be important for you to know, you know, which one they're calling. Now, best practice is you don't do this. Right, because then it's going to be a lot of spaghetti code for you to try and maintain. So what would be better is if we didn't do this at all. Well, let's, you know what, let's leave 2 as a default. And we go down here and let's do this.
Now, if you were to do that first method, that's not really the best practice. Would you be able to set ranges instead of having to set an additional attribute for each added API version? Like if you wanted to,
You know what? That would be a great suggestion in a pull request.
Oh, cool.
This is all open source. I'm going to preface that. I don't believe you can. The last time I dug deep into this was in the early days of .NET Core.
Gotcha.
So now we have a default version of 2. We've got this one that's 1.0. This one is 1.5. And so let's do this. Let's uncomment this one. And I'm going to comment this again. Now, what have I done here? I have specified for these first two very creatively named methods called get and get to their actual version. This one, this other get to, is going to get the version from the controller.
Oh. All right, which is 2.
So then when I refresh the page, look at that. I get an error. Why did I get an error? Don't worry, it was part of the plan.
I do that with my debugging talks too, where it's like, oh, I got a bug. What do we do?
So we type in the swagger. So this takes us right to the JSON, and then this shows us the error. Which is another reason why sometimes you don't want to publicly expose your actual JSON interactive page to the world, right? Because then if there is an error, they say, oh, look at that. There's code.
Yep.
I've got two get API versions that I have two get methods with the same parameter, same signature, two different versions, but this isn't an API version controller. If I were to hit this from somewhere else, it would work fine. Mm. The problem is only in Swagger, because Swagger says, wait a minute, I've already got this method registered for that version. You have to do something. Fortunately, it's an easy fix. So we go back into our startup in a different project. And in add Swagger gen, we say resolve conflicting actions, and then it's a link statement. Take the first, take the last, and whichever you want. So let's say if you had 1.0 and 2.0, and they're both the same, and 2.0 is your default version, which we'll talk about shortly, then you want to take the last. If 1.0 is your default, you take the first.
Mm-hmm.
So we take this, do a little clipboard inheritance back over here to our Swagger. Oh, I had it right there. Refresh the page. That's the .NET Watch rebuilding the project.
Yeah. It's always kind of scary when you get that, but then it just refreshes later.
Yeah, sometimes automatically refreshes, sometimes it doesn't. I am running preview 8. Oh, now I done broke it.
Oh.
What do I have over here? I can show you if you're not familiar with using .NET Watch Run.
Should use scaring
the producer and bringing over a new screen. But it says the build failed. So then we hop back into here. And I am missing a using statement. And we save it. We go back to our browser. And all would be well with the world.
Eventually. There it goes. Yeah.
All right. So that's really just the bare minimum. So let's talk about what you really want to do in real life. And I've got a lot more code in here that we can talk about today, because I know it's a, you know, we're not doing a full blown episode, but let's talk about how we make Swagger really shine with versioning.
All right.
So let me close all tabs. Now, unfortunately, there's some plumbing you need to do. And if you pull down this sample code from my GitHub repo, which I know we'll put on the screen shortly, and it will be in the show notes, then you'll see all this. Or you could go out to the .NET, so github.com/.NET, and they've got some examples up there. There's this Swagger infrastructure we have to create. And I'm not going to spend a bunch of time going into it. It really is just clipboard inherited from the Microsoft repos.
Okay. So when you choose to use Swagger, you still have to manually create the separate file in order to configure it correctly? Or is there like a default?
There's, when you start getting into, when you want the real power of Swagger and versioning, then you have to add in some additional code.
Got it.
Right. So it's still going to generate the file for you, but you won't see the different versions. You only see one version.
Oh, yeah.
If you do this, you get additional versions. Because what this does for us is it goes through and pulls in the API version descriptions and then creates a new Swagger doc for each one of the versions it finds in your app. To use this, we have to add in one more package, and that is the Microsoft ASP.NET Core MVC Versioning API Explorer. And that's what actually surfaces all those different versions that Swagger then ties into. Now I pull in all of the Swagger ASP or swashbuckle. Let me be clear for people watching this. Swagger is a standard. Swashbuckle is a .NET Core implementation of that standard that integrates with ASP.NET Core.
Okay.
Right, so there's a couple of different tools you can use. Swashbuckle seems to be the winner of the popular vote.
Sweet. I'm taking the names too.
Yeah. All right. So we don't change anything in program. In startup, we have to do a lot more configuration. So I'll spend a little bit of time here. Before I get into the versioning options, let's talk about how we deal with Swagger so you get the power of Swagger. So this is the same. You know what? We're going to turn this back on just so we don't hit any bumps in the road. We have to add in using the iOptions pattern, or the options pattern ASP.NET Core. We're adding in those files that we copied from the Microsoft repo. We're going to make sure we put our link statement back in. I'm really super, like, I always want to clean up my using statements. So I'm constantly doing control period, clean up using statements, and then forget that I've commented stuff out. So.
No worries.
In configure, we need to provide through the DI container, the iAPI versioning description provider. And then in Swagger UI, we then get all the descriptions. So we're building a different Swagger doc through that code that we copied, right, for each version that it finds. But now in the user interface for Swagger, we want to create all those, we want to provide access to all those different versions. So again, this is just copy paste, right? I'm not going to make any claims I wrote this. This was figured out by lots of really smart people on the ASP.NET Core team. And so we just say we're going to use each of the version descriptors here. So when we run this, and we'll just go ahead and run this directly. There we go. And we're just going to run it using Kestrel because it should be faster. Now we have different definitions here.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, nice. Oh, and what is this? These are all crossed out. I wonder why. Rhetorical question. We come in here to our controllers and we look at our values controller. And I marked 1.5 deprecated. So in the Swagger UI, you can still get there. You can still try it out. But it's really telling you you don't want to.
Right.
Right? So that's part of, you know, that it's worth the extra work to copy those files in so that you get all that extra version documentation.
Great. So we're running short on time a little bit, but can you wrap us up?
Yep, I can wrap it up. Let's just talk about the last few things I wanted to talk about and we'll be done. Great. So we already covered these. Report API versions, use API behavior. These are some of the other important ones you care about. Assume default version when unspecified. So if somebody comes, if a call comes in that doesn't have a version on it, you can either just say, I don't know what to do, or you can just assume they're using the default. This is great for an unversioned API that becomes versioned. You can set the default version. And then the other thing that you really want to pay attention to is how they are talking to you. So I showed you URL versioning, and that's in the route. But you can also use query string, header, and media type. And then you just need to turn that on. And you turn that on simply by having an API version reader. And what I'm doing is I'm combining them all. It's a kitchen sink. It's going to read them all.
Cool.
So anyway, I know it was meant to be a short show and I probably talked too long, so I apologize. But there's just a ton more information. So definitely spend some time looking at the docs and diving in and versioning your APIs.
Yeah, this is really cool. So as you mentioned earlier, where can people go to learn more about how to do this API versioning and re-up on everything that we didn't cover today?
Yeah. So first of all, if you want to download my source code, I've got all kinds of documents in it. If you go into the project we didn't even talk about, folder versioning, I've got every single option you can have turned on in there so you can turn it on and off, right, and see the effect. But honestly, if you go to docs.asp.net.com, is that it? I've got it memorized. I just blanked.
That sounds right. You have it better than I do.
Docs.asp.net. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's in my browser. It's in my favorites, right? I just click it. It's like nobody knows phone numbers anymore because they just
e-dial.
But there's a great section on versioning in there on, and then tying in Swashbuckle as well.
Awesome. Well, this is exciting stuff. So thank you so much, Phil, for explaining all of that to us. That is really cool. And just something as simple as Swagger, I feel like can save a lot of time when it comes to documenting all of those changes too.
Yeah. And there's a ton more. So, you know, if you want to do some shows in the future, there's a ton of stuff we can do with Swagger. I didn't even touch the surface of that.
Absolutely. You're not new to this show. So I'm sure we'll see you back in the near future. So until then, happy coding.